In the gospel reading today, our Lord is asked about which commandment in the law is the greatest. Now again, remember, for the Jewish people, there were 613 specific laws that they had to follow. And so the question then is, what's the greatest of them all? And the Lord tells them that it is to love the Lord your God with your whole heart and soul and strength. And then he adds the next point, a point that, of course, we all know because we've heard it how many times, but how important it is, because they didn't ask him what the second most important point was. He simply told them, love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, upon these two commands, the entire law and the prophets depend. Without these two, none of the rest of it make any sense. In other words, you can white knuckle it through hanging on to all of those other commandments. That's all that it is. It's white knuckling it. It's just doing it because you have to do it. God's not looking for us just to go through the motions. God's not looking for us just to do something because we don't have an option. God wants us to love, because that's what we were created to do. It's the only thing that will fulfill us. It's the only thing that is going to bring to our lives that which we desire the most. And unfortunately, again, we live in a society that gravitates against that. We live in a society that says, no, we're supposed to be about ourselves. We're supposed to focus on me. That's the opposite of love. We're called to charity. And so if we have that love for God, and we do everything out of love for God, not only is it going to be a matter of doing the right thing, but it's for the right reason. And it's going to bring a sense of joy. It's going to bring fulfillment. It's going to bring peace. It's going to bring everything into our lives that we're desiring and that we don't tend to have these days. Again, we can think about what our lives are about. It's so hectic and it's so chaotic. A lot of us don't have peace because we're focused on ourselves. There's no hope in ourselves. There's no peace within ourselves. That only comes from the Lord. That's exactly what St. Paul is telling us. He tells us that we have to live our lives in a manner that is worthy of the calling that we have received from God. So in other words, our primary vocation is to live a Christian life. So obviously within that, you have your own individual vocation to which God is calling you. But how can you live a married life, for instance, in the fullness of what that's supposed to be, if you're not first and foremost living a truly Christian life? The same would be true for any other vocation, single life, consecrated life, priesthood, whatever it may be. If the focus isn't first and foremost on the Lord, then what are we doing? And why are we doing it? So St. Paul tells us that first of all, we have to live in a manner that is worthy of this vocation. So recognize that first and foremost, because a lot of us just take it for granted. God has called you. God has chosen you for himself. That's pretty astounding. And it's not something we can just take for granted. It's not something we should just be able to shrug off and say, well, yeah, but God has called millions of people to himself, so big deal. It's a huge deal that God has called you to be in relationship with him. That God has called you, number one, to know him, and number two, to love him. But before you can love him, you have to receive his love. That's what he's calling you to. That's your primary vocation. to receive the love of God and to love him in return. And from that love for God will flow the love for everyone else. So that's our primary vocation. It's a vocation to charity. It's a vocation to live the life of Jesus Christ, because that's what it means to be a Christian person. Today, we're living in a situation that's similar to the way it was 2,000 years ago. They didn't have any time for Jesus, and they put him to death after they persecuted him. So if we're going to be living the life of Jesus Christ, what do you think is going to happen to us? The same thing. So St. Paul then tells us how we need to do this. Because the people in the first century were being persecuted for their faith. He said to them that they have to be able to live in a manner worthy of their calling. So therefore, he says it needs to be in humility, in meekness, in patience, and in charity. Those are not American virtues. Meekness is the opposite of anger. There's an awful lot of anger in our society right now, not a whole lot of meekness. Humility is almost impossible to find in America. Lots of pride, lots of arrogance, but not a whole lot of humility. How about patience? Ask yourself about your own patience. Some of you had kids. How patient are you? Or if you're like me, when you get behind somebody out on the freeway, how patient are you? You find out real quickly that you're maybe needing to grow in patience because you see some of the things going on. We get frustrated with it. And so we have lots of opportunities to practice these things, but we recognize that we don't have a lot of virtue that's developed yet. And then the charity. The charity is the opposite of selfishness. We live in a totally self-centered society, which is why we're not at peace, which is why we're angry, which is why we're not fulfilled, which is why we're caught up with all the pride, because it's all about me. And that's empty. That's death. It brings misery into our lives, which again is just the opposite of what the advertisers are trying to tell us that our selfishness will bring. If you're selfish and you get all these things and you got all this and it's all about, oh, you're just going to be so happy. Doesn't happen. We've got this idea about all these people who are filthy rich and how happy they are. Remember years ago, Father Duffner told me a story. There was some TV show on that he said he used to watch, something about rich and famous people or something. And he said the amazing thing is, he said at the end of every single episode of that program, they asked the exact same question. And these people who are billionaires, filthy rich, said, "Are you happy?" And he said, everyone gives the exact same answer with the exact same tone. "I've never been so happy in all my life." He said, they're miserable and it's obvious, but they've convinced themselves that all these things are supposed to make them happy. They're not happy. But we think that they're happy because they've got all this junk. As I like to point out, go over to the French Riviera, to the super, super, super rich people, and what have they done? Oh, they built themselves a nice mansion, and they put up a wall around it so it looks just like a prison. And there they are in their own prison. But boy, are they happy being in their prison. There's no freedom, there's no joy, there's no peace, there's nothing. That's not going to make us happy. That's not going to fulfill us. What's going to fulfill us is living according to our vocation. Then it doesn't matter. You can be filthy rich and you can still have Christ. You can be completely impoverished and you can still have Christ. And you're going to be filled with joy. You're going to be at peace, not because of the money and the materialism, because of Christ. That's what we have to be about. So St. Paul then tells us that we have to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The bond of peace. Then he tells us what that is. One body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. So, we are united in one body. We have the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. We have one hope. We need to be clear what that means, because some of you might be saying, well, I hope that someday I can go on this trip, or I hope someday that I can take this class, or what. That's just hope on the natural level. We're talking about theological hope. There's only one. That's to get to heaven. That's our hope, to be united with the Lord for eternity. So we have that one hope. In other words, we're rejecting everything else because there is no real hope in it. One Lord. One Lord. One whom you will call master. One whom you will obey. One whom you are going to seek to serve. How easily we get pulled by all these other things. We need to get our focus on the Lord. One faith. We live in a society now where we've got thousands and thousands and thousands. Jesus founded one. Need to be about that. One baptism. Got people now who want to be unbaptized. We have people rejecting the baptism of babies. We've got people who think that they need to be baptized again. There's only one. You're baptized into Jesus Christ. And if you're going to reject that, you're rejecting the Lord, you're rejecting your vocation, you're rejecting everything. You're rejecting who you are as a Christian person. But it goes back to that point. God called you. You were baptized into the very person of Jesus Christ. You became a member of Jesus Christ. You share in his life. You share in his dignity, in his divinity. All these things are yours because of your call. But now it's a matter of saying, all right, I need to accept this and I need to live it. St. Paul goes on, there is one God and Father of all. Only one. And so all the pagan gods, all the false gods, all the other garbage that's out there, it's demonic. It is not God. There is only one. Remember, as I've told you before, there's only one truth. The devil will tell you 1,000 lies. He doesn't care which lie you believe. But there's only one truth. There's only one God. There are thousands of false gods out there, and they'll tell you whatever it is you want to hear. But God's only going to tell you the truth, because he's the only true God. And it's wonderful then to listen to what St. Paul says about that one true God. Yes, he is above all. He's infinite. But he's throughout all. He's within us. He's within his creation. And then he says, and in us all. If you are in the state of grace, the Holy Trinity dwells within you. You become the temple of God. You are the dwelling place of the Lord. That's you. That's your dignity. That's who you are called to be. And so, again, where's the peace going to come from? Uniting with the Lord, who is within. He's at total peace because he's pure love. And so if we are willing to be able to accept who we are, we have to accept the truth, first of all, that this is the reality. And then we have to accept that this is the truth of who I am. And if you're looking at your life and you're recognizing that it's kind of empty these days and it's just nothing that really fulfills and it's just, you know, there's no peace, well, start out by turning off all the noise, but then go inside. Unite with Jesus on the inside. That's where you're going to find peace. That's where you're going to find fulfillment. That's where you're going to find who you are as a Christian person, who God has called you to be, with that one hope of being united with Him for eternity. And if we can do that, then we are going to be conformed little by little to the Lord. Then we're going to live the life of the Lord. And how did Jesus live His life? Love God and love neighbor. That's it. Everything else is fulfilled. You don't have to worry about the 613 commandments. You don't have to anyway, but you don't have to worry about any of it. If you love, you're going to follow the law. If you love, you're going to do what's right. If you love, you're not going to sin against somebody. So that's why the Lord says everything else is based on those two things. And so we could look at it and say, okay, I have to do all these things. No, all you have to do is love. That's not a gushy emotional thing. That means I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to make Him the center of my life. I'm going to seek Him daily in prayer. I'm going to read the scriptures. I'm going to pray. I'm going to unite myself with Him while I can. I'm going to get to daily mass so I can receive Him. I'm going to go to adoration so I can be united with Him in prayer. I'm going to make the Lord the number one priority, because there is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Is He really my Lord? Is He really my God? Yeah, it's easy to say objectively that God is real, but remember, Satan can say that too. Satan cannot say, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is the one I love. Jesus is the one I serve. No, he said, I will not serve. He knows God is real. He chose not to serve Him. And look at where it got him. Total devastation and emptiness for the rest of eternity. God is offering you total fulfillment and peace and love and joy for the rest of eternity. And that can start now, even in the midst of all the chaos. He didn't say He was going to make it easy. Just look at His own life and look at how He ended His life. It's not easy and it wasn't fun. So if we're looking for excitement and fun, it may not be there. If you're looking for joy and peace, that's where you're going to find it. That's what's going on right within us. If we will accept our call, if we will accept our dignity and embrace that and live it, as St. Paul asks us to do. But that means not making ourselves the priority. It means making the Lord the priority and seeking to live our lives for Him.